Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Today's devotion is called The Duckling's Dangerous Journey, and I'm reading from Windows on God's World by Dr. James Tucker. Our scripture is Psalms 41:2. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. One of the most dangerous journeys in the world is that undertaken by a baby eider duck as they leave their nest and accompany their mothers to sea for the first time. Eider ducks are strictly sea-going birds. They get their food entirely from the ocean. Nesting eiders make their nests on the ground that overlooks the sea, back from sometimes precipitous cliffs that may rise from 10 to 20 feet above the water. This would seem an impassable obstacle in getting the ducklings to the relative safety of the water, but there is a much more serious danger. Gulls, herring gulls in particular, like nothing better than to make a meal of a stray eider duckling. They hang around the nesting areas, constantly watching for a baby duck to be lost or caught in a crack. When a mother eider starts for the cliff to lead her babies in their dangerous trip to the sea, all dutifully follow her. In doing this, they often get strung out in a line, which presents a perfect opportunity for the gulls to snatch a duckling for dinner. But during this critical journey, unmated females join the procession and provide a solid escort for the endangered babies. When the convoy reaches the rocks at the water's edge, the babies follow their mother down to the rocks as quickly as possible. A couple who were studying eiders noticed that only 4 of the 5 chicks of one mother duck were heading out to sea with their mother. They rushed to the edge of the cliff and frightened away the gulls that were already swooping toward the lost chick caught in a crevice. With no time to lose, the man rescued the lost baby and flung it as far out toward the mother as he could. Then the couple kept the gulls away until the mother rescued her chick, who was calling loudly to her. Sometimes God permits experiences to come to us that we do not appreciate at the time. But as that couple rescued the duckling, so God will deliver us if we are willing to accept his guidance. You know, all of nature has such great analogies for us. So today as we pray, we're going to hold up Christian. Christian is a young man who they don't know what's wrong with him. He just collapsed and now he's at Johns Hopkins. We'll pray for him. And we'll pray for others too. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to join my friends across the United States and throughout the world. Many of us are struggling with finances and through all of that, we want to provide the best education possible for our children. So I hold up to you those families that are either homeschooling or they are scrimping and saving to send their child to a Christian school. Be with them. Just provide for them. Lord, we continue to pray for Christian who is in Johns Hopkins. They don't know what's wrong with him. And we pray for our nation. We pray for this show, Lord, that it will be to your honor and glory. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. So today we're going to make an eider paper bird craft. You know, the interesting thing about eider birds is they can dive up to 65 feet under the water, go down 65 feet, because they feed on mollusks and sea stars, crabs, and others, and other invertebrates down deep in the ocean. So they're a pretty cool bird. Anyway, in this craft, all you need is colored craft paper, popsicle sticks, googly eyes, pen or marker, pencil and scissors. I sometimes, for my older students, like them to look at a real picture of an eider bird and try to make their bird that they're going to glue onto their stick look as much like the real thing as possible. But for my younger kids, I like to do it more simply. And you can see the idea for this craft is on my Pinterest site at mrgamblin2. And all of these I'm putting in Windows on God's World. My board is called Windows on God's World. You're going to need colored craft paper, popsicle sticks, googly eyes, pen or marker, pencil and scissors. It's a pretty easy craft, and at the same time, you can be thinking up some cool, crafty facts that go with the eiderbird duck. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. So we're going through benchmarks and looking back at my notes. I've kind of done a hodgepodge. So I started with third grade, then I went second grade, I went first grade. And today I'm going to catch us up and we're going to be on track, do fourth grade. So fourth grade benchmarks in math. Some of the things, you know, can this student read and write and justify the value of the digits? Can they compare and order numbers based on the value of the digits? It's amazing how students can't do that now. You have to really work hard to teach it. I'm amazed. I think that something has happened to all of our brains. So be patient with your students. As a fourth grader, can you estimate a number by rounding to any place? If I say round to the tens, or round to the hundreds, or round to the thousands, or round to the 10,000s, can I do that? Can I fluently add and subtract basic fact numbers at least up to 40? And then this is fourth grade. So when I give these, they're often based on Common Core. Common is the operative word, meaning that maybe even a lower standard than what you want to have for your family. So I put this, I love this website. It's CSD4Tech. T-E-C-H, the number 4. So it's C-S-D, the number 4, T-E-C-H.com. And they have on there the technological resources, the apps that would work with iPads as well as your PCs. And then they have the actual benchmark for that grade level. So it's a great resource. You know, curriculum isn't just the videos or the books that you purchase, but it's the whole learning path that you're making. And so these benchmarks or these standards that we have, they're just to give you a goal. And we hope that you far exceed your goal. But it does give you some way of knowing what your child should know at a particular grade level. But don't be upset if they don't. It's just no big deal. It's the path that you're taking. You know your child better than anyone. I think it's fantastic if you can homeschool. Questions parents ask. Well, this question comes to us from Lily. She says, my 5-year-old daughter is ready and wanting to start school. We have all her curriculum chosen. She means all the books. But I'm at loss what to do for math. She's very visual, hands-on learner. Any suggestions? Well, I'm here to tell you that any kindergarten math is pretty hands-on. We keep counters ready and we keep little Rubik's cubes ready. And you can use any type of counter in your home. You know, if you have buttons, you can use buttons as counters. I love using macaroni. In fact, I think every homeschool should have a tub of colored macaroni. And I know that I have that somewhere on my Pinterest site, how to dye macaroni using alcohol so that kids can sort macaroni, but they can also use it to count. So make sure you use, you know, pretty good chunky size, like the big shells or, you know, the big rotini, something that's chunky enough so that she can handle it, because she still is developing her fine motor skills. And if you have a younger child in there, you really don't want them to get it in the wrong pipe. So you always have to watch with these counters. Even my fifth and sixth graders, if I don't watch, will put the counters in their mouth. I do not understand. Anyway, that's one of the questions that we're talking about. I have another question here. This question comes from Susan. It says, I have a third grader that is dyslexic who is struggling with memorizing multiplication. I love this question because I struggled too. And so I think tomorrow I'll spend the whole curriculum corner answering this question, because most dyslexics also are dyscalculia to some. Not always. I mean, for sure there's exception to the rules. Many dyslexics are great at math, but they can't memorize the multiplication tables. We're going to work on that question and answer it tomorrow by singing our multiplication tables. And there's videos too. So remember, go to my Pinterest site. I try to store all that stuff there in my different boards. My call numbers are mrgamblin2 at Pinterest. mrgamblin and the number 2. You know, I have appreciated so much the response to this show. If you have a chance and you want to get one of our gifts, our collection of gifts here, you realize everyone we interview gives us a little something. Send a check to MRG Media, P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. And we will get a book out to you. Well, I hope you'll stay tuned for my interview with T.C. Stallings, and we will be right back. We're talking with T.C. Stallings, and I'm going to just give my listeners a little bit about you. You were a former athlete. You still look quite athletic to me. After a stunning football campaigns in both high school and college, you went on to play professionally in the European and Canadian leagues. Following his success in athletics, T.C. shifted to film and television. In 2004, T.C. landed a spot on Animal Planet's King of the Jungle. Cool. A reality show in which he emerged as the show's champion. He then landed the role of TJ in the 2011 hit movie Courageous, which was his major motion picture debut. Then you moved to California and three more film roles followed. But TC's career reached new heights with his breakout performances as Tony Jordan in the 2015 hit film War Room, which soared to number one in the box office and in its second week. TC can also be seen in national TV commercials with companies such as Golden Corral and the NFL. Love them both. TC entered ministry in 2003 and has since been a busy keynote speaker in and out of the country. On December 1, 2015, TC added author to his resume by releasing his new book, The Pursuit, 14 Ways in 14 Days to Passionately Seek God's Purpose for Your Life. He's married to his college sweetheart, Lavette Stallings, and they have two children and live in Southern California. So I have TC here, and then I have Angela. And Angela White is a film producer. We're going to talk about the film that one of you is in the cast and one of you is producing. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about your book, too. She is a talent and business affairs executive and member of the Producers Guild of America, who specializes in creating compelling commercial content with a distinct perspective. As the founder of Silver Lining Entertainment, a family-owned multimedia entertainment company, and through her impressive body of pre- and post-production work, Ms. White has established herself as a permanent fixture in the entertainment industry. Over the past 5 years, Ms. White has produced multiple TV movies such as My Sister's Wedding, the spiritual thriller The Sincere, which stars Isaiah Washington, and the inspirational faith-based film Who Can I Run To, starring Christian multi-platinum artist Marvin Sapp. Currently, Ms. White is finalizing the anticipated Christian film A Question of Faith, which stars Richard T. Jones, Kim Fields, T.C. Stallings, C. Thomas Howell,
Jackie Velasquez.
Velasquez, Gregory Allen Williams, Renee O'Connor, which will be released in theaters in the fall of 2017. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And let's start with a question of faith. First of all, how is it that we are finding these big names embracing spiritual themes and producing movies for theater? Why do you suppose there's that? It seems like there's a more than I've ever seen before in my lifetime.
Let me start. I think there's an awakening amongst artists in general. I think a lot of people have their own religious beliefs, and there's a lot of Christians in the industry, and they're becoming more comfortable with sharing that on screen. There was a time maybe 10 years ago where a lot of artists felt they'll be pigeonholed if they only did religious content. I think now people are not afraid to claim the love for Jesus Christ. For me personally, I've seen the change.
Well, I noticed in some of your promotional work that you showed how much money these faith-based films have made since 2006. Now, I can only guess why you would include that content in your promotional material, but I'd like to hear from you why you would include that.
Because a lot of people don't know. You know, just because we're Christians and we know doesn't mean there's a whole host of other people who have no idea that the faith-based market is a real market. So, for example, for it to be able to be seen on a wide screen, you need distribution. So a lot of times distributors have no idea there's this Christian audience that will come to the theaters. Thank God for the success of War Room and God's Not Dead. That kind of opened the doors down. So for me as a producer to be able even to obtain financing to do these films, I have to educate people on the success of the films. Somebody would tell me, oh, Christians are not going to go and do an opening weekend of 30 and 40 million. It's not true. So I have to be able to show people this is a real viable market.
So you as the producer, not only do you have to pitch the idea, but then you have to obtain funding.
Yes.
And then are you also the one who obtains the talent?
Yes.
Like some of the talent that you have sitting beside you.
Absolutely. I do the A to Z. So we start with the script and then we get the funding. And then I hire the director and then the other producers. And then we hire a casting director who helps assist us, great people like T.C. Stallings. And then we have to shoot the film. And then we have to do post-production and put the film back together. And then we have to find distribution so people can see the film. So I'm on board pretty much for about 15 months of my life to do a proper film justice.
Yes. And how did you become? I mean, what? How did you know that you were going to be a producer?
I had no idea, to be honest with you. It's something that just kind of fell in my lap. I didn't even know what a producer was. Somebody had to teach me what this person does. You hear the term, but you're like, well, what does that person do? They just work for the studio and they get a job and put a film together. So I had to learn. I started to learn that a producer really creates and controls a lot of what's being shown on TV and film. So that's an important person, because if you have the wrong people promoting the wrong content, it could really, really do some damage to our minds and to a lot of other young kids.
So you got TC here to cast him as describe his character.
TC Stallings plays Cecil King, who is, to me, the conscience of one of our lead characters, who's played by Richard T. Jones, and his name is Pastor David Newman. He's like his right hand, somebody that he trusts. In the film, they're up there, they're working on a church, they're working on an addition of a church, and I think TC's character gives some good advice to him, because the lead character plays a man of faith who starts questioning his own relationship with Jesus Christ.
So TC, we also want to mention that you're an author. So while you were working in the movie industry, you were writing. I mean, it's been a while that you've been writing.
Yeah, this is my second book called Playing on God's Team. I had completed it, and it just focuses on what it truly means to be a Christ follower. And I use the team concept because I learned this lesson back when I was in college as an athlete, and I just looked at the effort that I was given to my sport, and I compared that to the effort that I was giving Team Jesus, what I like to call it, and it was just lopsided. You know, I gave more effort to what I wanted, and I learned a valuable lesson how to follow him wholeheartedly for what he wants. And so, you know, I wrote 21 chapters about it, and I take people through it, and I have videos on my website to kind of wrap up what I'm talking about, so it kind of makes it personal for me, so you can see me and speak with me. And so it was good, and then coming off of that, I got a chance to be a part of this great film.
So let's share with the listeners your websites. What you referred to the website. Where can they go?
All right.
Let me write that down.
For the film is www.aquestionoffaith.com.
Mm-hmm. And then my website is tcstallings.com. And I'll obviously post stuff about the film on there as well. And on social media, I'm at TC Stallings pretty much across the board on Twitter and Facebook, and official TC Stallings on Instagram. And so yeah, I'll be continuously, as the updates come to me and I hear more exciting things about the production and how things are going, I'll share that. And I'm really excited for October, God's will, that you guys get to see a really, really good film.
Well, you know, I look at our ministry as promoting ministry in all the shapes and forms that it comes in. And I've lived life long enough to remember as a child that, you know, a Christian would never go into a theater. And to see it, you know, that change, and then to see, you know, members of my own family taking film and realizing that God is using every single avenue. He's using visual. He's using all of our senses to talk to him and to build that relationship with him. So at what point, I mean, did you ever in your young lives have that pushback from your parents or maybe your grandparents when you said, oh, I'm going to be a movie star, or oh, I'm going to be a producer? Did you ever experience that, or is that just me?
Well, you know, for me, I grew up in a very unique situation to where there wasn't a whole lot of goals, dreams, and desires being set in my household. I was the youngest of six. I didn't have my dad in my life. You know, it was just, you know, my mother. And it was basically, the goal was really to just, you know, stay alive, stay out of trouble, don't go to prison. And I mean, you know, we barely had people graduating high school in my family. So I had a unique situation where, through my struggles, I started to shape my own goals. I would look at a broken family and say, I'm going to grow up and not have that. I would look at the split up and divorced parents or whatever and say, I'm not going to have that. All my goals were shaped on what I didn't have. I would look at the poverty and the gang violence and I said, I'm not going to live here. So that just started to shape my goals. And so in order to do that, you have to look at for a means. And so for me, I'm like, well, I hear that if I can run around with a football pretty well, that I might be able to go to college and be the first man to do so. And so those, my goals got shaped that way. But the thing is that's when my heart just got literally centered towards one thing and nobody was going to stop me. And then this is where the whole, the Jesus thing comes in, to where God's like, all right, I want you to stop playing football and I want you to start acting. Now we're right back to the question of faith thing, because that's what I wanted to do. And now I'm questioning, like, do I have faith enough to drop all of that and go do what God called me to do and move out to L.A. where I know no one, and he's going to use me? Like, is this really you? And it gets frustrating. I stopped questioning him. I followed him. And then here I am 12 films later with a career that's doing films, that's helping people around the country know who he is. And so it's just that's what I hope people kind of take from this, is that you may question the things that God has for you. And it might be rough sometimes and everything, but at the end of the day, he's still God. He always will be. And hopefully you trust him through a situation. Once he gets you through it, you can always point back to that time and use it the next time you get in a, I might question you moment.
Yes.
And it moves you forward. So that's kind of how I got into it, and kind of got me where I am. And but he's captured my heart. I'll go wherever he tells me to go.
Amen. Thank you for staying with us. I hope you'll come back tomorrow for the other part of the interview. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.